Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody is having a great first weekend in February. Yes, folks, January's in our hip pocket, and we're moving on to month number two, the little short one. So,
but one day longer this year.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. We'll see how that plays out, right. You know. Tell you what, a lot of weather's been going on, a lot of changes at Texas Parks and Wildlife, and as you've heard here before, back on November 21st, had the pleasure of meeting with David Yoskowitz, the new executive director, as well as five of the directors of the different divisions with Parks and Wildlife. Mm-hmm. One of them is our new inland fisheries director, Tim Birdsong. He took over the position held by Craig Bond, who is now the COO. It's nice to see good people being looked upon for positions that need to be filled. And we're going to be visiting with Tim about the challenges that he's facing, opportunities in the outdoor world. When Lake Bodark may fill up and be open, you know, a new reservoir, first one in decades.
Bodark.
Okay. That's right. Plus, we got a whole lot of other news headed your way. So y'all do stick around. And remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
If your child has a common orthopedic condition, that doesn't mean you can only get common treatments. You can choose Shriners Children's. Our world-class care is not limited to insurance networks or to what's been done before. The same doctors who innovate treatments for the most complicated orthopedic issues will help your child grow and develop properly. See what we do at ShrinersChildrens.org. Shriners Children's, the most amazing care anywhere.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And at the top of the program mentioned that we're going to have Tim Birdsong, the new Inland Fisheries Director for Texas Parks and Wildlife. And a lot is going on. Rather than taking time up later in the program, Harold, I thought we'd take a minute just to introduce the 17-year veteran of Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, having served in the Inland Fisheries Division as the Deputy Division Director and Habitat Conservation Branch Chief. Prior to joining the TPWD, Birdsong was a fisheries biologist and data program leader with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But And something else that we do on the show all the time is we talk about the impact that we as a group, a culture, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the Inland Fisheries Division provides quality fishing opportunities. Now, this is freshwater, okay?
Yeah, okay.
3.1 million freshwater anglers on Texas, 1,100 public reservoirs, and 191,228 miles of streams, creeks, and rivers. You were there that day that they were measuring all that, right?
Yeah, of course. Along with the guys that are counting the baby fish.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the economic impact, back in 2022, anglers spent an estimated $11.1 billion on food, lodging, transportation, and equipment while fishing Texas freshwater and coastal waters, and fishing supported an estimated 51,380 jobs.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, sizable. And certainly we've seen within the last decade, and really even probably more so within the last 5 or 6 years, a real increase in our state population is we've had a steady flow of people from other states.
Mm-hmm.
Crossing our borders legally.
Right.
And then we've got the other situation on the southern border.
Uh-huh.
So what you got for us?
Well, yes.
I'm surprised you.
Well,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Not really. I was enthralled with what we were talking about. Anyway, now results of the SHOT Show finally came in. 46th Annual Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show, which is in Vegas last week, which wore me out. Expanded show floor, record high number of exhibitors, an array of new features and networking opportunities, largest to date. Well, I can tell you it was. More than 55,400 people showed up, 13.9 miles of aisles of stuff, marking the third year of the expanded exhibit space over to Caesars Forum, including what they already had at the Venetian Expo. More than 2,600 companies, over 821,000 net square feet, and attracted attendees from 117 countries, all 50 states. And fortunately, I survived it, because a lot of people get what we call the SHOT Show flu. You know, but and they said the people were spending money, man.
Very good. So, very good. Back here in the Lone Star State, everyone has heard of the loss that we had back in February of 2021, Winter Storm Uri and
right.
our speckled trout, and how the Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries jumped in and put an emergency measure in that lasted until about the third week, say the end of August mm-hmm. of last year. And then it reverted back. Well, I'm really proud of coastal anglers.
Okay.
Because after going, more, you know, I mean, why? Don't reduce. What are we going to do? You're going to put us out of business. Mm-hmm. There was really an uproar saying, no, we really, we've lived with that for this period of time.
Uh-huh.
Let's leave it there.
Ah.
And I think it's extremely smart. And I'll tell you what the commission did in just a moment, because Robin Rikers, Coastal Fisheries Director, and I had talk when different reductions in bag limit and size had been discussed over the years. And the population, again, Texas was growing. Uh-huh. And I said, you know, at some point, if we don't reduce now, if we don't get ahead of the curve, we're going to end up like Florida, where they have seasons, and there is no fishing allowed.
Right.
So they held scoping meetings amongst constituents, coastal anglers, guides, et cetera. And a proposal was set forth that the three fish daily bag limit per angler will be retained.
Oh,
that was
okay.
what the emergency measure was. A minimum size of 15 inches and maximum size limit of 20 inches, which is surprising, but that's good eating size fish, okay? And one oversized trout greater than 30 inches allowed as part of the daily bag limit. Now, this is the size limit and the bag limit is going to remain, but the fiscal year for Parks and Wildlife begins September 1 and runs through August 31. Since this is occurring in the middle of the year, licenses have already been bought, et cetera, what you're going to see is that one oversized trout greater than 30 inches will be allowed as part of the daily bag limit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty open-ended for those lucky enough to catch, you know, a really great sow trout. However, you can expect that by the time license go on sale, August 15th of this year, you're going to see a tag, much like the redfish tag, all right? And that will allow one oversized trout per year. Mm-hmm. And the way I read this release, and I'll get clarification and pass it on, it says to take of an oversize, including one bonus tag. Now, does that mean if you take, there's a way that that's going to tighten up. Okay,
it's not going to be a bonus tag.
No, you know, it's like on the on your license. If you buy a combination license,
right,
you get a redfish tag. Okay, okay? So you're going to have one for speckled trout as well, and that's pretty cool. You know,
right.
So
cold weather. This is very interesting.
What's that?
This is from my friends at the Farm Bureau. Nasty Norther is the headline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The coldest temperature ever recorded in Texas happened in mid-February, but it wasn't during your Uri storm,
okay?
February 12,
1899. Oh, wow.
It dipped to 23 degrees below zero in the panhandle.
Wow.
Now, you panhandle a lot. Tula?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, near the town of Tula.
Uh-huh.
It was during a norther that killed 40,000 cattle across the state overnight. In February 1933, thermometers also fell to minus 23 in Seminole in West Texas.
Wow. That's, wow.
That's an Arctic blast, isn't it?
That is really an Arctic blast. For those of you all that complain about the cold.
Yes.
Nothing.
And wonder what the wind chill was.
Oh, out in West Texas?
Yeah, right.
My goodness.
Right.
It could have been severe.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. You got anything else?
Well, got to do a quickie. Another species may be endangered. Federal wildlife officials announced last week they're adding to the Endangered Species Act a big bumblebee that serves as a key pollinator across the U.S., they completed their study on this, and they want to list it. One of the most prominent species up for consideration is the Southern Plains bumblebee, a large black...
You're saying bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
Okay, I thought you said bumble. Not bubble, huh?
No, bumblebee.
Bumblebee, okay.
Southern Plains bumblebee, a large black and yellow bumblebee that inhabits open prairies, meadows, grasslands in the Midwest, the Mid-Atlantic states, the Plains states from Texas to North Dakota. Queens can grow as large as an inch.
Hmm.
Yep. So there you go. We've got to be careful with our Southern Plains bumblebee. Well, we're having a big problem, you know, with the bee population as it is. We need to take care of them critters.
Well, yeah, but the problem, well, bumblebee compared to, the honeybees.
Yeah,
they are pollinators.
Right.
But, you know, I was just thinking while you were reading that, really hadn't heard much about the African or Africanized
Not lately.
Lately, you know?
Usually hear about it when they put the sting on somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, folks, while you all ponder that,
mm-hmm.
we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got our Best Bets Outdoor Report. We're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road right after this.
America's best-selling truck for 47 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need, trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha-ha! But you're not going to see them celebrate those 47 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 47 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
Friends, now you can listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora. The country's favorite outdoor show, directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more, on demand and on the go. Download the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora apps, or go to Google and search Texas Outdoor News, or just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the tabs. Then listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. This is Harold Gunn along with Bill Olson. This portion of our show is brought to you by The Blind. That is B-L-Y-N-D. For decades, the original blind has been known for its long-lasting durability that will not fail in the field while providing comfortable concealment at an affordable price. The Blind has been a bestseller for over 43 years, with more than 75,000 sold since 1980. Plus, The Blind's iconic design and construction are so good that original models bought over 35 years ago are still being used today. I've got six of them up at my place, and I've had them over 20 years. They're still doing their job, friends. The Blind now introduces the next generation, the VersaBlind. Just as its name implies, the VersaBlind satisfies the needs for any hunting discipline. Rifle, bow, pistol, black powder, and more. Its newly designed spacious configuration provides more room while on the same footprint. Its windows allow greater visibility, versatility, and increased shot options to harvest game. Plus, hunters now have the room to truly set up for a steady shot. See the original Blind, VersaBlind, towers, tie-downs, other accessories at blind.com. That is BLYND.com. Remember, since 1980, it's the Blind, and dealer inquiries are welcome.
Tell you what, it is the best designed blind.
Indeed.
The window configuration and the fact that you've got more room on the same footprint is absolutely genius.
And, of course, what that means is people like to have their stands, and if you had an old blind that stand, you can put the new one on the stand, but you got more room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You really, really need to check it out. I guarantee you, you take a look at it, and if you're a hunter, the light bulb will go off, and
yes,
you go, oh, yeah.
You betcha.
You can see the VersaBlind, Blind, and any of their accessories at Gibson's in Kerrville, Moyes Way Shooting Sports in Kingsbury, Southwest Hay and Feed down in Mission. Check them out.
You bet. Great product. Just keeps on getting better. Okay. Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal. Fishing and hunting times this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, are good days. Monday slips to fair. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday rebound as good days. Next Saturday, our best day of the week. Next Sunday, another good one. This weekend, look for game to become active from well before sunrise, continuing to remain active until mid-morning. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from either side of sunrise, continue until either side of the noon hour. By Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, times will have continued to adjust, with game most active from mid-morning until mid-afternoon. Next weekend, this most active feeding period will occur from late morning until mid-afternoon. On Thursday, February the 8th, we will have a new moon on the coast. This weekend, plus Monday and Tuesday, a quartet of days with a single tide schedule of one high and one low each day. Wednesday has a double tide schedule of two highs and two lows. Thursday, a three tide day with two low tides and just one high. Friday and next Saturday and Sunday each have a double tide schedule.
All right. On the coast, we've been talking about how you need to play the wind because when the north wind blows, tides drop out. Now, looking at the forecast, and Harold, you know, I become so jaded when it comes to extended forecast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That looks as though we're going to be in a stretch for the next week and a half where temperatures are going to warm quite a bit. And shallow water warms more quickly than deep water. So here's what you need to look for in your pre-trip planning. Look for shallow flats near or adjacent to deeper water.
Oh,
right? That gives the trout, redfish, other game fish a place to retreat when cold weather sets in, and then during warm periods of the day, you know, say that 10 to 2, 10 to 3 period, they can move up on the flats and feed all spells in big letters opportunity. And you've got flounder, those that left the bays starting to move back in. You've got a variety of fish down the lower coast, mangrove snapper, in the Brownsville Ship Channel. You've got snook. Plus, over the coming near weeks, you've got tarpon that are starting to make a move.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So lots of opportunities. And don't forget, out to 9 nautical miles, we can fish for red snapper in state waters.
Yay.
What's going on in our lakes?
Well, let us head to Fork, okay? Bass bite is still fairly shallow and 4 to 6 feet along the break lines. Square bill crankbaits, suspending jerkbaits are best with a few on chatterbaits. The deeper bite seems to be more than 15 to 20 feet deep on long points with channels close by. Alabama rigs, tail spinners are the best. Crappie are still best between the 154 bridge and the 515 west bridge. Look for trees and creek channels deeper than 35 feet. You should find tons of bait fish looking for warmer water in those deeper areas. Small hand-tied jigs, small plastics, and minnows are the best bet right now. Catfish are always hungry on Lake Fork, regardless of the water temperature or the rain. So focus on timber in 20 to 25 feet deep, close to water, close to deeper water. That's loaded with bait fish. Bait holes with cattle cubes or sour grain. Then use any prepared catfish bait to load the boat. With tons of runoff, you may also find good catfish in areas with fresh water, pushing new food sources into the lake. Yes, sir.
Hey, folks, a suggestion. As Harold's given lake reports and other reports that are coming your way, if we don't mention a specific lake that you fish, use this information and find a lake that is close to you. Now, there can be some, you know, certain personalities, if you will, of water bodies. But this will give you a starting point, then integrate in your weather, you know, and conditions that you see and make adjustments. So I'm just saying, we're in a time of transition, you know. Listen to this and use this as... Well, added information.
We're giving the best reports that we've got.
We are. We are. Sorry to interrupt, but I thought I'd share that.
Well, I'm just not going to say anything else then.
Okay, go ahead.
No, Sam Rayburn. Lake conditions have drastically changed over the past week, and the water level has risen 3.5 feet. Even with the work on the dam being stalled, there has been a large warming trend, pushing the first wave of bass up to spawn. Water temperatures are ranging from 52 to 58 degrees, finding the majority of fish in the mouths of creeks, the main lake, drains, or main lake ledges. That's where you can find those bait fish. Fayette. Bass fishing continues to be consistent, targeting roadbeds and deeper rock piles with jigs, deep crankbait, shaky heads, Texas rig crawl worms, limestone. Largemouth bass are scattered from 2 to 12 feet. Expect bass to move up this week as they adjust to the new water levels. Crappie are in 8 to 16 feet of water on brush and standing timber biting minnows. White bass are in 4 to 12 feet of water on docks and points, biting lipless crankbaits and silver jigging spoons. Catfish are biting cutbait in creek channels, humps, and points in 8 to 18 feet of water. Palestine crappie are transitioning to shallower water, with most fish 8 to 18 feet of water. Spawn is in the near future here, with water temperatures rising quickly to 52 to 56 degrees. The bite is good on jigs and minnows. Largemouth bass are in 2 to 10 feet of water, and they're spawning now. Traditional plastics and crawfish and creature baits are working the best. Sand bass are pushing up the river and creeks to spawn as well. Bite is good on small bladed jigs. Texoma, catfishing is good. Drifting cut shad on flats near the Red River mouth in 15 to 25 feet of water. Lake is more clear than ever up near the river right now. Whitney, striped bass are good. Fishing with live bait, dead sticking, trolling swim baits, and umbrella rigs. Fish are scattered from the island to Bear Creek.
Heading to South Texas, out Del Rio way, we're big friendly. Amistad Reservoir is over 57 feet low, but there's still a lot of water out there. White bass are good in 30 to 40 feet of water around bait balls and birds. River channels, ledges, and some of the coves are holding most of the fish. Spoons, crankbaits, and rattle traps in shad colors are doing best. Lake Corpus Christi, catfish, sound like a common theme, doesn't it, Harold?
Yeah.
Are good on worms, minnows, and jigs. White bass are good on minnows in the river. Falcon, big trophy catfish, are excellent with several catches over 60 pounds. Target submerged timber at the river channel with cut bait. Keeper catfish are on the flats in the river channel in 10 to 20 feet of water with cut bait and shrimp being best. Bass are good in 5 to 10 feet of water around shallow rocky bottoms and at the back of creeks with crankbaits and saw plastics. Allen Henry, still a great crappie lake as it is every winter.
Okay, head of the hill country of Buckhannon. Striped bass and white bass are good, dead sticking with soft plastics, but vertical jigging 1-ounce spoons is the main producer. Key water depths remain 25 to 50 feet deep. There's been more bird activity lately with active fish close by. The birds are moving fast, and so are the fish, so being mobile is the key. I remember years ago as a child when scuba diving first started getting popular, and there was some guy diving at the base of the dam at Buckhannon. He came up and he said, "The catfish look like pigs all over wallowing in the mud. It looks like pigs down here. They're so big." Anyway, Canyon. Stripers are biting all over the lake using a swim bait on a slow retrieve. Largemouth are positioning on scattered grass, dead sticking a drop shot. LBJ, crappie are good with orange and chartreuse jigs in 30 feet of water. White bass are good in 30 feet of water using white slabs. Travis, Bass are on brush piles in 15 to 20 feet of water using shaky heads. Texas rigged 4 to 5 inch worms. That's a good report we've got there. Water clarity is good overall upriver. There's a good stain with a few feet of visibility. The lower end of the lake is very clear with quite a bit of grass. Bass have been more active as the weather is warming back up. Small crankbaits in shad color and crawfish colors are doing well. Fished around chunk, rock, and wood around the banks. Lipless baits, chatter baits, spinner baits, and plastics fished around the grass have been good as well.
This week's hunting report is brought to you by Dallas Safari Club. Dallas Safari Club's mission is to ensure the conservation of wildlife through public engagement, education, and advocacy for well-regulated hunting and sustainable use. The vision of Dallas Safari Club is a society that values wildlife, engages in its conservation, and understands and supports the role of well-regulated hunting in the sustainable use of wild resources. Dallas Safari Club is a member of the International Union for Conservation of Nature and is a mission-focused conservation organization funded by hunters from around the world. In recent years, millions of dollars have been channeled to qualified projects, organizations, and programs in support of that mission. Whether at Dallas Safari Club's huge annual four-day convention held each January or events held by one of its local chapters, these are places hunters gather and create a sense of family. Help Dallas Safari Club continue to make a difference by becoming a member, getting involved, and becoming a part of their growth. For more information, visit biggame.org. That's biggame.org. And on the hunting scene, boy, a lot of the hunting seasons have already wound down. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for fall turkey season, one left.
Okay.
And it's going to close for just literally a few weeks and then reopen with the spring season. Mm. But that's down in Brooks, Kennedy, Kleberg, and Willsey County. It closes February 25th. Quail season also closes February 25th, as does the Chocolaca season. And for year-round seasons, how about South Zone Javelina?
Okay.
Other open counties for squirrel? Goes through August 31. All right. What have you been driving this week?
You'll be happy.
Oh, okay. All
you'll
right.
be happy. That's right. It's only partially.
You're actually on a roll here.
It's
lately.
Only partially electric.
Oh, okay.
But it's a hybrid, which works. And I'm going to throw this right now. Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, this past week announced that they are going to be tapering way down on their plug-ins.
You think?
And coming way up with the hybrids. And the hybrids work. At least you still got some gasoline, you know. But the hybrid systems are great.
Well, it's a built-in generator.
Correct.
That you're carrying.
Correct.
As Absolutely. Opposed to that open space that you carry, you know.
On the trailer in the back, right?
Right. You're,
anyway, but this is the Toyota 2024 Tundra HV 4x4 Capstone Crewmax. It is fancy schmancy, man. This thing was loaded with the works, but it is their new V6. Toyota has stopped making their Endurance V8. Great engine, a lot of power, but a gas hog, and they've stopped the V8s. Now it's the iForce Max Twin Turbo V6 with also the hybrid motor. So this thing punches out 437 horsepower, 583 foot-pounds of torque, made it to a 10-speed transmission with sequential shift. Drive mode select with tow haul modes, four-wheel on-demand, part-time four-wheel drive with electronically controlled transfer case, multi-link rear suspension, tow hitch with all the pins and stuff you need and all the plug-ins. Their safety system, which is great, pre-collision, pedestrian direction, full-speed range dynamic radar cruise control keeps you at a distance from the cars in front of you. Outside, great 22-inch wheels, aluminum-reinforced composite bed with 120-volt outlet in it. Load leveling rear suspension, all-weather floor liners, ball mount, wheel locks, mini tie-downs. And what's cool about it really surprised me when I cranked it up, great exhaust pipes. It sounds like a V8, but it's a V6. They've got a great exhaust system in the thing, really good performance. We're looking at 19 miles per gallon in the city, 22 on the highway. And it's Bob Vance money, too. It's right at $82,000. Yeah, get a good trade-in on your Jeep there,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah.
But anyway, but this thing is absolutely everything you can get on it. You know, the trailering mirrors, I mean, all that stuff. Loaded to the gills, though. Good-looking car, great performance. So surprised me from that 6. But this is the 2024 Tundra HV 4x4 Capstone Crewmax from Toyota.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tim Birdsong, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Inland Fisheries Director, is on his way.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word. And I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead, inevitably, to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients, taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists, doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloonier tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth, while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with Vitamins and Minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. All right, mention that it's warming up, but you never know when Texas weather will change and, you know, it, you know, gets really cold. Plus the fact that during the rut, whitetail bucks, they lose 25% of their body weight. So they're still trying to regain what they lost. And don't forget mama deer. They're carrying those babies that they'll put on the ground, you know, late May and June in that time frame, and we'll need to nourish them to get their legs under them so that they can run away from predators. Mm-hmm. Put Fortified Cottonseed out around your water sources. Free choice means the limited intake and results in a better than 2.5 to 1 savings over a protein regimen.
Yeah, it's great because they only eat what they need.
Exactly. For more information, go to fortifiedcottonseed.com. You can go to one of the tractor supplies and pick up however many bags you might need. You got a big order, give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. Mentioned at the top of the program, I had the pleasure of meeting with Texas Parks and Wildlife Executive Director David Yoskowitz and all five of the division directors. One of them is a new guy to the position,
yes,
but he's been around for a while, as we mentioned earlier in the show, 17 years with Texas Parks and Wildlife. Inland Fisheries Director Tim Birdsong. Tim, welcome to Texas Outdoor News, and again, congratulations on the new position.
Yeah, thank you on both accounts. Happy to be here.
A lot going on. I mean, you've been with the division for a number of years, as we noted earlier in the program when we were starting to introduce you. Now you got the reins following Craig Bonds, who's the COO. Looking at the opportunities, obviously, we've started February. That's month two in the legacy class collection period that runs through the end of March. Are we still sitting at three fish, one at J.B. Thomas, and then two from Ivy?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and started off with a bang again, and we expect a whole slew of those legacy share lunkers to be contributed again this year. We've got some strong year classes of those big trophy size fish that are sitting at a number of different reservoirs around the state. So good to see some of those fish donated to us in January. You know, we're planning ahead for our end of season share lunker banquet, where we recognize those anglers who donate those fish to our hatchery program. And it's been such a large event in terms of just the volume of anglers that we're recognizing in recent years. And historically, we had a Texas Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame banquet, the induction ceremony for the individual who selected for that recognition. We had that banquet paired with the share lunker banquet, but it's gotten so big because we have so many anglers who are catching these big fish that we've had to split that off into two separate events, and every year we're trying to recombine those, but it's a good problem to have that we've got so many of those big fish being caught and contributed here in the state.
Yeah, Tim, this is Harold. I mean, real quick on the success of this program through all these years too, because I'm sure somebody's probably counted, but the millions and millions and millions and millions of little tiny fish that we put back in these reservoirs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have that number offhand, but just the number of fish that we stock every year. I mean, we stock over 25 million fish every year in Texas waters, about 400 different locations that we stock. And that's all species that we're stocking, but, you know, a good number, a good percentage of that are those Florida bass, those share lunker offspring.
Before we go to the mid-show break, I want to pass on some words, because obviously bass are the headliners and get, most of the headlines. But every angler that has contributed, donated a share lunker, Harold, just raves about the personnel that comes out to meet the care that these fish are given, and the opportunity to return them to the waters from which they were caught, mm-hmm. along with the fry, from the hatchery. So, Tim, you're off to a great start. You've got a new lake that we're waiting for enough rain to fill up so that you all can open. But listen, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Lake Bodark with Texas Parks and Wildlife Inland Fisheries Director Tim Birdsong right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Going fishing? Don't. Not until you've been to the 49th Annual Houston Fishing Show, February 14th through the 18th. Hundreds of booths filled with rods, reels, the newest lures, electronics, and fishing accessories. Manufacturers from all over the world with factory reps there to answer your questions. Fishing guides from Alaska to South America on hand to assist you in planning your next trip. Hundreds of booths filled with tackle items and other products never before seen. Blue water cruisers, skinny water bay boats, kayaks, and high-performance bass boats, fully rigged and ready to fish, marked down for the show. Hundreds of fishing pros to answer all your questions. Continuous clinics by fishing experts. Special kids clinics sponsored by Fishing Tackle Unlimited. Pure Fishing and Texas Coastal Brigade on Saturday and Sunday with fishing tackle for each youngster. Don't miss the 49th Annual Houston Fishing Show, Wednesday, February 14th through Sunday, February 18th at the George R. Brown Convention Center, Hall A, nearest Minute Maid Park in downtown Houston. For more information, visit HoustonFishingShow.com. We continue our conversation with Tim Birdsong, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Inland Fisheries Director. As we went to break, Tim, I mentioned Lake Bodark, and several questions come to mind. Number one, with the rains that we had back in January, did that bring us up to a level where that lake can be opened? Are you waiting for debris to settle and clear? Where are we on that?
Yeah, we've been coordinating closely with Lake Authority, game wardens, our local fishery staff up there to look at timing for opening of that lake. And it was about early January I was able to get up there and visit, and it was still hovering at about 7 foot below conservation pool, and they wanted to get it a little higher than that before they opened it. And of course, as you noted there, you're looking at, you know, a lot of woody debris that's in the water, right? So there was forested land that was submerged as that dam was finished and it started to capture water, and so you see a lot of wood around the shoreline. And of course they cut through some forested timber areas to create some boating lanes from those boat launches into the more open water areas, but still some work that needs to be done to make sure that it's a safe fishing and boating experience for folks. But ideally it would get closer to conservation pool before they open it, because that's going to be ideal for those boat docks that have been constructed there next to the boat launches.
Are you aware of how many anglers are just chomping at the bit to get on that lake?
Oh, I suspect they're out there. We're looking at, just this incredible opportunity. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. You know, we talk within among the fisheries biologists about this type of opportunity that's created, right, to come in and coordinate with a lake developer to work within the footprint of the lake and really design what's going to be a premier, you know, bass fishery. I mean, we had the opportunity to work real closely with Sabine River Authority on construction of Lake Fork. That's the example that always gets pointed to, and no doubt, you know, keeping a lot of that standing timber in place in the lake bed has contributed substantially to that being an incredible fishery over the years. And so, you know, worked closely on the construction of Bodark and tried to keep as much of that timber in place as possible. But, you know, a lot of other fisheries enhancements that are happening there at the lake in terms of pea gravel for spawning beds for sunfish, and the stocking programs that occur in advance of filling up a lake like that. There were a number of ponds, stock ponds, that were within the footprint of that lake, and so we went in and removed fish that were existing in those ponds using piscicides. You know, just we removed all those fish, and then we were able to stock it with Sharelunker offspring and we stock sunfish and other forage species. And
yeah,
so
Tim, let me ask you my burning question. Where is this thing located?
It's near Bonham, Texas. It's in Fannin County. And mm-hmm. so the thing is, it's not the only new reservoir in that county. So Bodark was finished recently. It's still filling up. I just looked at the water levels, and it's real time. It's about 70%. Full. So
oh, that's great.
Still got a little ways to go.
Yeah, well, looking at this project, I mean, this, you know, with each new job which you're into now, what are some of the other challenges you're looking at?
Well, you know, the biggest issue that we've got across the state is just rainfall patterns, water levels. You know, you're looking at significant human population growth across the state and what that does for increased and competing demands for water. And so, you know, we're having to come up with new strategies for how we manage in the face of water level fluctuations. I mean, that happens naturally with rainfall patterns, but we're seeing it also influenced by just water demand, water consumption. And so I mentioned these two new lakes and the opportunity that has to create these amazing fisheries, but we're trying to work in some of our systems that have these significant water level fluctuations where it may drop, you know, water levels could drop 40 feet. And I'm talking about, like, you know, Lake Amistad, and I'm talking about OHIV and some others that you've heard about lately that have produced some incredible fisheries. But, you know, what we're doing when there's extreme water level fluctuations, you have those low water levels and you have brush and other terrestrial vegetation that's growing up in the lake bed. And if you can time water levels coming back at those lakes with stocking of our Sharelunker offspring and other species, then you have this boom. And so that's what happened at OHIV. You hear so much about OHIV, and it was experiencing those severe drought conditions back in 2011. And as it started to catch water coming out of the drought, we were there stocking those fish. And you've got two or three really strong year classes of those Florida bass that are out there right now. Those are the fish that are being caught. So those, you're talking 10 to 12 year old fish, and many other lakes around the state that we're managing in the same way just dealing with the realities of water level fluctuations in our lakes.
All right. Well, Tim, we've got about a minute before we're out of time. But one of the things I want to point out to folks is you all are managing the fishery. You mentioned Sabine River Authority and others. Each of these reservoirs have their own water authority that has different music that they march to, basically. sometimes Parks and Wildlife gets credited or maybe blamed for things that you all really don't have control over, and managing all the working with all these different authorities, that's got to be a challenge within itself, right?
Yeah, it's a challenge, but there are a lot of opportunities there, and there are a lot of folks that are really easy to work with in that regard. But yeah, most of what we're doing is providing recommendations to those controlling authorities. I mean, the stocking, the habitat improvements, those sorts of actions, that's well within our purview, and we're out there implementing that, you know, fish boating access improvements, things in that arena. But when it comes to how we're going to approach managing floating vegetation, nuisance aquatic vegetation, or how we're going to deal with you know, meeting some water demand, whether it's for municipal water supply or addressing flood control. I mean, we can provide recommendations on what's best for the fishery, and we do that routinely, but it's really within the decision power of those controlling authorities. So we've got a pretty good relationship with most controlling authorities around the state, and we work together. They understand that, you know, fisheries are real recreational and economic benefit to the state, but they've got a lot of other things that they're trying to achieve at the same time.
All right, we're going to have to rein you in, like all your you know, peers up there. Lots of information.
Yeah,
we're going to have you back. We appreciate you making your initial visit to Texas Outdoor News. Our guest today, Tim Birdsong, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Inland Fisheries Director. Thanks a lot, Tim.
You bet. Good chatting with you.
Thank you, Tim. We'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment, advocating the right to keep and bear arms, advancing the shooting sports, championing gun safety, education, and training, creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. What do we got, Harold?
Here we go. February 8th, 49th Annual Huntsville Chapter of the Ducks Unlimited Fundraising Banquet in Huntsville at the Walker County Fairgrounds. Information is at ducks.org. February 14, 18, 49th Annual Houston Fishing Show, George R. Brown Convention Center. For information and times, HoustonFishingShow.com. February 16th, 50th, Brazos Valley Ducks Unlimited Fundraising Banquet in Bryan at the Brazos Center. Again, info on that at ducks.org. Go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 47 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing, payload, and are the strongest trucks on the road. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
And remember, Hybrid Light is the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News. They have flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more. In fact, kits that contain one of each. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source, including the sun, and they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, these lights can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners and friends, they have a special offer. For 20% off any of their products and free same-day shipping, go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, 20% off, free same-day shipping. TEXAS20 is the code, hybridlight.com.
Want to thank our guest today, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's new Inland Fisheries Director, Tim Birdsong. Obviously, he's got a lot of information,
a lot of
updates. We're going to get Tim back on to talk about some of the other challenges that that division is dealing with.
And I wanted to congratulate him on leaving the Fed to come to Texas. That's a step up.
He did that a few years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
And he grew up here.
Anyway, remember, Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Check out our website, TexasOutdoorNews.com. You see a list of our wonderful stations. And the shows are archived there, so you can play them over and over again. And you can catch us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Where else, Bob? Oh, we're somewhere. We're everywhere, actually. Remember, be safe out there in the field or on the water so you can join us next week for more Texas Outdoor News.